Welcome to a podcast by Michael Servetus on the Book of the Errors of the Trinity, written in 1531 when he was 19 years old. A rare book. Chapter 7. Again, what brotherhood shall you say that we have with Christ? Who is he that is exalted above his fellows? What kind of comparison is it that the apostle makes between Christ and Moses, saying, "For he hath been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, since Moses was as a servant, but Christ as a son"? To what end also does the apostle, in the same epistle, so strongly insist upon showing that Christ was exalted even above the angels? For it would be silly enough to prove that the second person of the Godhead is by nature more exalted than the angels. Nor can his meaning be thus construed, for the apostle is speaking in accordance with the thought of the prophet, and David is marveling at the great glory of Christ, because, though he is a man, all things have been subjected to him. Chapter 8. Again, he did miracles that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Note that he considers the matter settled as regards Jesus, but that we may believe that this Jesus is he who was to be anointed, being begotten of the only God, the Father. And how is the second unknown being recognized by miracles unless it is understood of him whom they saw doing the miracles, as Nicodemus declares? For the outward miracles are no proof of the inward speculations. Likewise, Christ himself bears witness that the works that he does sufficiently show that he has been sent by the Father. And Nathanael, from his saying, "I saw thee underneath the fig tree," concludes that he is the Son of God, who was to be sent as King of Israel. They draw a similar conclusion from his stilling the wind. And from the miracles that he did, Peter concludes, "We know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Chapter 9. These conclusions also clearly prove what I said in the second place, namely that he whom I call Christ is the Son of God, for from the miracles that he did, they conclude that he is the Son of God. And it having been proved that he is Jesus Christ, this turns out as proved, for one who denies that he is the Son denies Jesus Christ, since Scripture proclaims nothing else than that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Moreover, by many testimonies of the Scripture, he is shown to be especially the Son, and God is called Father with regard to him. Really a Father, I say, because he was begotten by one filling the place of a human father. For he was not begotten of the seed of Joseph, as Carparates, Corinthus, and Photinus wickedly and falsely declared, but instead of the seed of a man, the almighty power of the word of God overshadowed Mary, the Holy Spirit acting within her. And it continues, "Wherefore also that which is born shall be called holy, the Son of God." Weigh the word "wherefore." Note the conclusion. Note the reason why he is called the Son of God. The same kind of sonship in the man Jesus Christ is disclosed to us by Daniel, who calls him a stone cut out without hands. Again, the same kind of sonship is expressed when it says that she became the child of the Holy Spirit, and that which has been conceived in her has come from the Holy Spirit. Tell me, pray, what is the offspring begotten and conceived in her, which comes from the Holy Spirit, from which he concludes that the Son whom she brings forth will be the Savior, Emmanuel. Take note of what Luke says, "This Son whom thou shalt conceive and bring forth shall be called the Son of the Most High." He says furthermore, he shall be great, and God shall give unto him the throne. Has the second person then become great and received from God the throne of his father David? Why did he not say, he shall be called the son of the first person, and the first person shall give unto him the throne? But he said, the son of the Most High God, and God shall give unto him the throne. Some striving to pervert the words of the angel misinterpret the word holy in this passage, as though the firstborn Christ were not worthy of it, although Luke also expressly shows in the chapter following why he had said holy, because every firstborn thing shall be called holy to God. In like manner, the apostles say, of thy holy Son Jesus. Moreover, they would call the power of God something merely speculative. But oh, that they knew what the word of God is. They never show how that was instead of the seed of a man, for the angel answers the question asked by Mary as to the seed of man. Nor do they explain what that is which, being begotten by the power which fills the place of the seed, will be called the Son of God. For Luke does not say that the power is called the Son, but that which is begotten by the power. He shall be called the Son of God, for the reason that the power of God is instead of the seed of a man. Chapter 10. Nor do they notice how wide and deep are the mysteries of this word and of the seed, in illustration of which it says that the seed of the sower is the word of God. For just as Christ was begotten and born by the word of God, so we are born again by the word of God. Born again, says Peter, through the word of the living God. And this seed he calls incorruptible, and he begot us by the word of truth. They have speculated ill, therefore, in denying that the Son was a man, that they may make a son of the word. But the truth of the matter proves to be otherwise, and John thought it more fitting to say word than son. Indeed, in his discussion of the word, the Son is said to be flesh. Of the word I shall speak later. For the present, let us keep his proper honor and glory for Jesus Christ. For even by this we shall understand the word also. Again, the very nature of the word teaches us that the Son is called a man. For just as being anointed is an affair of the body, so being born is an affair of the flesh. The flesh, therefore, says Tertullian, was born, and the Son of God will be flesh. Again, who is the little boy of whom mention is so often made in Matthew chapter 2? Whom Joseph took to Egypt and back. Say, is the boy the name of the hypostasis? See whether the boy there is the son called out of Egypt. Again, tell me whether he whom you call the human nature was beast or man. For if man, he was both begotten and born, and if so, he had a parent. Say then, of whom he was begotten, and consequently he will be the son of him who begot him. Say whether he was begotten by Joseph as his father, or by some other father. Nor will you find any other father than God. Or will you say that he was a mere appearance and not flesh? For if he is flesh, he was born of some father, hence he is someone's son. Nor do I believe that you can escape here unless you make one son out of two or conjure up imaginary sonships unknown to Christ himself. Chapter 11. But what is there so strange, you will say, not to speak of substances, in acknowledging two sons? For we admit that the two beings had two births and very different ones. Likewise, that the two beings had two begettings. Hence, we cannot deny that two were begotten and two were born. Speculate as much as ever you will on the kind of sonship, in order to make of the two one mass, one aggregate, or one connotative substance, for you are deceived if from this it seems to you that taking Scripture in its plain sense, there was an only son. when you nevertheless see before your eyes two begotten and born? Who would make any difference between born and sons? Nor did the scriptures ever contemplate such subtleties, but they speak in the simplest way of Jesus, the only Son of God. And scripture mentions no other being, no other nature, nothing besides a man born or begotten. And so Ignatius, speaking of one and the same, says concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is truly born of God and of the Virgin, of God before the world began, but afterwards of Mary, without the seed of a man. But how? This will appear below. For the present, I most sincerely would that little old woman, half-blind man, and barbers might acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God, and that the root and foundation might be in him. We shall speak of the word more at large later on. For Christ proclaimed, even to women, that he was the Messiah. Pray consider how a little old woman could understand the metaphysical Son when most heresiarchs and those the most subtle have stumbled at it. Chapter 12. Again, in addition to what has been said before, God said to John, upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and abiding upon him, the same is he. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Pray, note the words very plain and without circumlocution. For in your opinion, John would have been deceived in saying that the one whom he saw was the Son of God? Nor is it credible that he himself had thought out anything about the separate being? Nor had God given him any sign by which to recognize it? Or will you say that the voice from heaven was misleading in saying, upon whomsoever thou shalt see, the same is he? It would also have been misleading when descending, it said of a being present to all, this is my son, or thou art my son. If by the pronoun he meant to indicate some other hidden being, then the witness would not have been clear. It would have led the people astray. Again, when Jesus, being asked, who is the Son of God, answered, thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaks with thee. What could have been said more clearly? This being plainly shown, the centurion said, truly this man was the Son of God. Observe now, that the pronouns indicate a being perceived by the senses. Nor do I believe that the centurion would have played the sophist or have spoken of the communicatio idiomatum. Again, hear Paul, who as soon as he received his sight, went into the synagogue and proclaimed Jesus, that he is the Son of God. Nor are we seeking here to make any discussion about a hypostasis of the word. Indeed, he was afterwards proclaimed by John in order to establish this doctrine, for he is not opposed to our view, but joins us in proving it. See also whether the high priest had a second hypostasis in mind when he said, art thou the Son of God, the Blessed? And Jesus answered, I am. Yea, say that I am the Son of God. In like manner, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. But with what gross perversity these most transparent words have been misinterpreted in connection with the sophistical communicatio idiomatum. Let them judge for themselves, for I understand the words of Christ in the very simplest sense, nor do I suffer any meaning to be imported into them. I would not have you press scripture into service in order to construct fictions of your own, but because it attracts you when it is itself kept intact, I would not have you by your vain imaginings render uncertain such a manifest certainty of the gospel.
You've been listening to On the Errors of the Trinity by Michael Servetus, a rare book.